What up? What up? Y'all kind of bobbing my head to the intro, you know?
Right.
I like how we put that together. But anyway,
it's your beat.
Right.
I was one of them late night sessions, just like, ooh, this kind of right here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Let me put them drums on that little chop. But yeah, for those who don't know me, if this is your first time tapping into the Black Currency Podcast, I am Bradley D'Lo Thomas. By day, I'm a marketing strategist at a biotechnology company. And by night, I am a passionate producer slash writer MC. And I'll pass the mic.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Opal Alisa. By day, director of multicultural business strategy for a financial company. And by night, by passion, by everything else, I am a poet, MC, and author.
What's going on? It's your boy, Corey Dashed Up Whitmore. Yeah, I'm still a little sick, sound a little nasally. You know, I'm still doing the Media 22, Radio 22, Studio 22 thing. And I think right now that's all I got because I just put in my resignation letter.
Woo! Mogul.
Drop the mic.
Okay.
Keep it moving.
Gangsta. Time to get it.
Mm-hmm. Gotta do what you gotta
for
do.
For real though, okay? For real.
Time these people in Madison be tripping.
Yes.
Man, I already know.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, I can get into what we're going to talk about today. We're going to reflect on some of our past personal experiences with money that some of y'all might be able to relate to. And if you do relate to it, there is a way out to change your financial situation. So usually I start off, I start the song off. But right. This time,
remix.
I think I'm gonna bring it to the trailer. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Slash, I do everything. You know what I'm saying? Every podcast. Right. I'm in the studio. I'm still making beats. I'm still doing shows. You know, I'm still building up the community the best way I know how. So, Corey, are there any things, any topics that you want to share with the people related to finances that have been like stepping stones for you to become a better person financially?
Well, I think, you know, I want to use something from my entrepreneurial background when I had my first business, Deuce Deuce Entertainment, but it really applies to finances, personal finances and stuff across the board. Mm-hmm. You know, for those that don't know, I started a small music label in Milwaukee, Wisconsin called Deuce Deuce Entertainment. It was an LLC. Started in 2005. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I thought I'd be the next Dame Dash or something.
You had the vision.
But man, you know, I felt I had something to prove. But financially, especially with a lot of businesses and a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck, like you're not doing a lot of future planning. And what I found ourselves doing and happens in the personal, and I know that some people bring this up, as soon as you get it, as soon as you would get money coming in, money would go out. Mm-hmm. As soon as money came in, money would go out. And right. it took me some years in really getting into my second business, Media 22, before I was able to learn to do enough financial planning to basically, as we talked about in the first episode, having like a rainy day fund, because, you know, there's always something that comes up, something that's going to happen that's going to be not anticipated, not planned, and can have really an impact and set you back if you financially can't handle what may occur, whether it be something happens with the car, whether it be, you know, storms, tornadoes. I mean, anything, stuff can happen. And in the music realm, what happened was we had, when we, in 2008, we were experiencing like a lot of growth, right, as far as having more people come on board, more people being able to access us. Now we're starting to go out of town finally and like perform and do all these things. But financially, we weren't stable enough. I remember, I think we were coming home from, I want to say, a show in like Green Bay or Appleton or something. Yeah. Got into an accident. You know, luckily everybody was okay, but it was a late drive back.
Yeah.
And, you know,
car was racked. I mean, car was in bad shape. And, you know, not having anything set aside because we had basically spent our last dollar in the budget getting up there doing the show. Like, it was something that derailed us for a while. So something that we couldn't, something that we didn't plan for, some of course you don't expect, but not setting aside enough money to be able to overcome these things set us back as a label and as a business. And what I've tried to do moving forward in that case, especially with Media 22, is at least, and I was talking about this with somebody because we're talking about venues. And we're talking about money and if we were to get the venue and stuff like that. And, and I told bro, and it was like a light bulb in my head. I'm like, yo, if we ain't at least two, if we don't have at least 2-3 months rent wise, expense wise already in the bank, like I'm not even making that move. And it's the same way now with the business with Media 22, knowing that if something happens for whatever reason, or, you know, with, you know, I don't know, something crazy happens with the equipment or everything blows or something like that. And then it's soccer or something, we lose all equipment or we can't record or do podcasts for a month. But do we have enough set to the side to still be sustainable? And so we've tried to operate as a 2 month, if not 3 month ahead, just so that we have reserves, just so we have that rainy day. The other thing, which I know, I know DLO may frown at, but because
okay, I'm listening.
Investment in stocks. If for whatever reason I had to pull something out for a month to maybe catch up on if I have rent or something like that, in which I have another separate reserve from just what we're setting aside for rent and expenses moving forward. Because you never know what your health is going to be. You never know what catastrophe, what could possibly happen. And to always try and set yourself up in the entrepreneurial world, but definitely in the personal finances world, you know, especially when you're dealing with family. So the ability now to be in a place to say, hey, if something goes crazy, I still have a month, 2 months worth to still run this business, to get back on my feet if something happens, or if I lose an employee or something, have them get back on their feet, and also be able to pull from another reserve, something I would reluctantly want to pull from, but still have something set up in stocks. It's like, it's like creating those safety, you know, those safety baskets for you. Things. There may be things I have to pull out of the business because something personally may happen, but then I still have someplace else to go. So, you know, my lesson for folks, and I'm sure you guys are going to echo a lot of this too, is really you got to start setting yourself up in that rainy day fund. It's getting out of the 24-hour thought process and getting more into the looking into the future thought process, which is which is hard because, and many times myself, I was like that. I was in survival mode. So my brain was only operating in 24 hours. You got to get your brain operating the 48, 72, 1 week, 2 week, 1 month. It's a process. But if you're able to really start to train your brain to do those things, you'll be some of those bad luck things and some of those hits that everybody takes in life. That's just what life is. You're better to able to absorb them and still move forward. And I think that's important in anything financial. Like I said, whether it's business or whether it's, you know, entrepreneurial.
Were you doing this? Were you doing this at the same time you were working a job, or were you full time just running this business?
No, I was doing it while I was working a job. So in the beginning, siphoning off some of that money from that paycheck to go to stocks and things of that sort was crucial, and really being able to do that.
I bet.
Things service based sometimes can be slow, and especially moving here, moving back here, but it's been so long. Like, it takes time to build up networks and clientele. I mean, networks.
So
coming to a new place, you don't know nobody. You can't expect to be bringing in, you know, so much money. You got to go and spend time in the community and build those relationships and things of that sort. People got to build trust with you, build confidence in that what you're offering is something that's worth value.
Facts.
Facts on facts. Yeah. So I definitely got some stuff to add to that. But first, with the Deuce Deuce, I always wanted to know, where does the Deuce Deuce in 22 come from? Is that like a basketball number, or where does that come from for you?
So it's two things. It was my basketball number in high school, but the first studio was on 22nd and Kilborn.
Ah, sweet. That's dope. That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
homage. I love that.
22.
Nice. Yeah, that's fire. That's fire. Yeah. So I feel what you're saying, what you are talking about with the business, like I did that with my life, right? So mm-hmm. I was the same way. And for sure, it comes from that survival mode, but like that's something that you can look back and see. But while you're in it, you're not thinking like that, right? For me, it was like thinking like reward, right? First, it was like, let me get to a point where I can pay the bills on time. Because I would not say for most of my life, I was paycheck to paycheck. I was paycheck to the Wednesday before the Friday paycheck, right? Like it was like 2 days before I would run it. I can tell you right now, Woodman's on the west side. If you ain't got no money, this is not advice. But this, let me disclaim that right now. Woodman's like is one of the rare places you could still in recent years like write a check for gas, right? So if I would write a check on Wednesday after 3 p.m., I knew it would not go through until after Friday when my direct deposit would come back. So I said all that to just say that's how broke I was, less than paycheck to paycheck. And so once you get from paycheck to paycheck and then you're actually like, okay, to pay the bills, right? So maybe it's $20 left in the account when the direct deposit hits for the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I was in the mentality of like, I make $40,000, I spend $40,000. Okay, now I make $50,000, I spend $50,000. Make $100,000, spend $100,000. Like did not know that that's not what you do, right? Because that's just how, like you said, that 24-hour living, that's exactly how that was for me. So it was totally a mindset when we talk about books. That's why I always bring up the Jen Sincero book, You Are a Badass, because that was one of the first things that made me like, oh, I gotta think about this a little bit differently. And then really think about, just like you said, like it's not living above your means, right? Because I think once you get to a place, you think, okay, this is my means now, and I'm supposed to spend all that. And that's not what wealthy people do. They don't spend all of their money. They don't spend hardly any of their money once they get to, you know, an upper echelon. Yeah. But I was the same way. So how you were with business, I was like that with myself. And I think that is like, it's so dangerous. Like, luckily, nothing like big happened that set me up, but it did get me in trouble, as I shared, you know, on an earlier episode 2, I had to use payday lenders, right? Because I did not have that cushion. So I work with credit unions a lot, and we share the stat that the majority of Americans don't have $400 to help with an emergency. And that lack of not having $400, as you say, Corey, when the car breaks down,
right,
you got a medical bill.
Yep.
It'll just set everything off. Back. Right. Yep. Right. Then you're negative. You got bank fees on top of that. Can't pay the next bill. Now the car can't take you to work. Right. Now you're missing wages. And it just can spiral people into just a hole that you feel like you can't get out of. So I feel it 100%. So I think, just as you say, folks doing that with businesses in your experience, also like with our lives, right? And really just changing that mentality to be like, you do not and should not spend all you make personal or with business. Some of that has to be saved and some of it has to be really truly invested now to be able to beat inflation, which is like, we're not old enough to have seen inflation like this before, right? So this is a whole new territory, and it could just probably, I don't know, will get worse before it gets better.
Right. Yeah. So Opal, I can relate. I can definitely relate to what you were saying. What was like that moment of clarity for you when you was like, "Yo, this shit ain't like I gotta change something around, you know, for the better." Like, was there an event that happened where you were like, "This no"?
It was like it was two things. I think one was just that, like, finally feeling like I was making a good living, but not feeling like I was making a good living because I didn't feel like I had that safety. And I would say what changed the most is like being around people who were better with money, right? Being around people who were used to making higher incomes and seeing how they were. Like, it's like the cliches that you hear, like the richest person in the room got on the oldest shoes, and really starting to see doesn't have the best car, right? That's pulling up, and really being able to see like, okay, this is what they're buying. It's more peace of mind in future versus something shiny and new. So for me, it had a lot to do with just adding new people to my circle and being around new folks and, you know, not switching up, but being enhanced by and seeing how other folks are living, because I think that you just don't know what you don't know. Right. Like I shared before, my background from Wexford Ridge forever, low income neighborhood. And my mom was on welfare and then disability. So that's a check come every month and a check spent every month. And that's all I knew. So until you get around people who are spending their money differently and really seeing that that's not just something people say, that's not just an ideal, but that's like how people live. I think that really changed my aspirations for things and kind of how I moved with stuff.
That's what's up. Yeah. I can relate to both of y'all's stories, particularly in my life with dealing with money, just more about like handling money. And like you said, like living a lifestyle that makes you feel good, but doesn't really make you feel good. What are you trying to, purchase this American dream when in reality, nobody has that money in the bank for that emergency. Yeah. And that's like super important for me. It was, you know, when I graduated from college in my first job, I had never really seen my own money like in my pocket coming in. So it was like, yo, you know, like, I thought $42,000 to me was just like that, man, that's a lot of money, you know? And, you know, to somebody, it is a lot of money if you know how, you know, especially if you know how to manage it and do the right thing with it, but I didn't. So I just got happy with that number. And I remember I went to Chicago, I bought some like $150 shoes. I went to, I got a nice little shirt, you know what I'm saying? Like me and my, at the time, the fiance, we went out and got a whole bunch of food and kicked it all in Chicago. Right. And, you know, this is when I didn't understand credit either. So when you get more money, people are going to give you more credit. So you get more credit and then you live in this lifestyle. I didn't understand that, you know, I can't go over 30% of my credit. I didn't understand, like, you know, the utilization. I didn't get any of it. So eventually all that stuff caught up to me and I was just, you know, I didn't think nothing of it. I was like, yeah, there's a store right here. I got a check. You know, I'm going to go get some money. I know I'm going to get paid on Friday. So I'll just get the money now. But these payday lending stores are basically robbing people and making you pay astronomical amounts of interest. So I got into a situation where it was like, man, I had a loan at like damn near every store in Madison, you know what I'm saying? And I would just take out one to literally pay off the other, to take out another one to pay off the other, to pay off the other. Right. And I was like, I didn't get it. Cause I, you know, eventually I had to sit down and see like, where is all my money going? You know, how much money am I really bringing in? That's another thing I think people don't really understand either, is what the taxes and the benefits are going to take out of your paycheck.
Right. Yes.
So when someone tells you, $100,000, you probably bringing home like 70, you know, or, you know, 70 to 65% of what that check is, depending on how, you know, depending on how your stuff is set up and how much, you know, exemptions you have coming out of your money. So that was really a learning point for me in reading books too. And actually running businesses. So I ran a network marketing business for some time, and just being around people who were more business minded kind of started teaching me and teaching me about these books and teaching me how to do all these things, you know, because I grew up pretty privileged, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like, my, you know, I told y'all earlier in the episode, my dad was doing real estate. So I could just pop in and work for him, you know, and I was just went around with money. But you know what I'm saying? But you think that's life. Like, you know, you don't understand that he didn't set up a whole system for you. And like, you know, he's worked his ass off to get here. You're young, you know. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go in the club. You're going to throw it off. You're going to get some drinks. You know, you're going to buy some clothes. You know, you're going to waste it instead of investing it.
Okay. Man, just hearing these stories, and like, I can't. The thing that shines through, and we all said it, is environment. Like when I think back to being in Milwaukee and having like the record label thing, and ultimately, you know, feeling like, man, this is, I want to do music, but I don't want to do it in this way. You know, I think that
environment changed and created other opportunities. Me coming here to Madison and hooking up with like Karen and you can, and doing things with them, open up so many other possibilities to how revenue can come in and how different different things can happen and how you can create programming, things like that. If I had stayed in Milwaukee, I don't know if I would have been able to see what Media 22 could be. Which is crazy. And that's what was going in my head, like as you guys were speaking and talk about influence of environment and people around you and being able to see different things. Like, I don't think I would have seen what Media 22 is today if I would have stayed there in that same environment. I had to be around different people doing different things. And even though that was from a nonprofit perspective, it showed me different things that I wouldn't have gotten exposed having my head down, being in the grind. I just didn't have other people around me that were showing me different things.
Right.
For me to expand my knowledge base and say, you know what? No, I should actually approach it like this. I should twist it like this. And then it just created all those other possibilities. And even thinking about like my pops was entrepreneurial. So like, hey, remember when Amway was a thing? I know.
I know. I ain't gonna lie. I know people who do it right now. I still cash my shit from them every now and then. I mean,
we had the meetings at the house once in a while. He was messing with property for a little bit in Pennsylvania and stuff like that. So for me to come out like after college and say, yo, I'm gonna start my own business, that had to come from somewhere. You gotta see it.
Yeah.
And just how much that can change your trajectory. So, you know, for people that are listening that say, hey, I may not have that group, you gotta go out and find that group.
Yeah, true.
If you want to change the trajectory of where things are going, if you feel like things are flattening off, you need to go and find those people. Be a fly on the wall.
Right.
Let me just sit in. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I first came to those meetings, I didn't say nothing in the first 3 months because I didn't know everything that was going on. I'm trying to figure out, okay, this is how y'all do things. Oh, you do this. Okay. I'm just coming from the Boys and Girls Club. This is all brand new. Mm-hmm. This is all brand new. Like, I know music. I know how to, you know, do those things, but to expand it upon that and to make it even bigger, I still get to do music, but now it's all these other facets as well. Like, I would have gotten that without that exposure.
Right.
Yeah, that's so, like, that point you bring up, Corey, just, like, it's just that thing, like, no one does it alone, right? Yeah. You can't. And I think about, like, you brought up You Can. Like, You Can is made up of, and all the folks they're affiliated with, of people who are doing their own thing, right? Are really good at their own thing, can self-sustain, but the power, right? When I think about, like, Mad Lit, like, what? Like, I'm telling you, like, I did a piece of Mad Lit. And let me tell you, I did not expect that big old stage. I started walking down towards the square and I said, I know this is not that. Yeah. But that is like, and I'm from Madison and we've been doing music in Madison. I've been doing music with DLO in Madison for, let's age ourselves, 20 years. We're coming up on 20 years here, right? Mm-hmm. I ain't never in my life seen no stage like that put on by no Black folks. Put on by artists at that, right? Everybody who's an artist, ain't no way one of us, maybe Payne One, but other than that, ain't no way one of us, right? Could have got a stage like that with the production, with the advertisement, with the merch, with everything just set up. And I just think that's the power. And to me, that of people working together. And to me, that was also a mind shift, just like the money and not living day to day. It's also like not doing it by yourself, because I think when you're talented, be it art or be it finance, be it anything, you've probably grinded by yourself for a grip, right? You've probably been the one doing it. And to have to give that trust and connect with folks, but that's the only way to grow. So I feel that 100%, because that was for me too. Like, you gotta collab and find your people and let them teach you. Because that to me too is the only way. So much more power when you're connected with folks. Because otherwise, maybe somebody will find your website. Maybe they'll trust you off social media, but probably not. you're right. gonna have to somebody gonna have to vouch for you for somebody to run some money your way.
Yeah, that's facts right there. Yeah, we need each other. Mm-hmm. We need each other, and I think that's what a lot of people just they're afraid, because if you know, if you ask for help, you might come across as weak or you know you incompetent. When in reality, it's there's you're never gonna you shouldn't be a jack of all trades. You know, it's not really healthy to be one. You should really be a master of a few, but then reach out to someone else that's better than you at something in order for you to grow. Otherwise, it's just going to be harder. But, yeah, that's a hard lesson to open. I know what you mean. Like, just putting your nose down. Oh, I'm going to do it. Oh, I gave it. I passed you the ball. You dropped it. All right, I'm going to just take it to the hole next time. You know, I'm going to take the ball out of bounds, pass it to myself, go up the court. You know, set my own pick. Like you can't do all this.
But I think the other part of it, and maybe because I know your stories, I know this is part of it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I just want to I want to make sure to point out that, you know, part of the time of growth, especially for me personally, in trying to when I was transitioning between business, was kind of at the when I was getting close to the end of the label thing. I had thrusted myself into everything self-improvement. Yeah. And that's where me as a person that has hated reading for as long as I've been asked to do it, thrusted myself into those things and started learning a lot of those concepts. Like for me, Les Brown is who really kicked it off. And I started getting into Zig Ziglar. Then I started looking into Tony Robbins. And then it just avalanched from there. And I don't even think I can tell you what got me to that point, because my mom would actually be playing Les Brown and I'd be like, turn that mess off. Like I wasn't trying to hear it in the car because she'd have the tape. She'd put in the tape. It's like, you need a record for Les Brown. She's coming to do for you. All right, let's throw in Sweet Love again. But she would play it, and I didn't have the capacity for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But something tipped off where I had grabbed one, and then I was like, oh man, what else does he have? Oh man, what else would he have? Oh man, what else do he have? Hey, yo, Pops, you still got them tapes out there? I gotta find a tape player. But if y'all, I know you got all that stuff in that back room that you ain't doing nothing with, it's probably back there. You find them, see them. And then I latched on to this because all these guys quote each other. Like in their motivational speeches, it's so and so said that, and it's like, ooh, I need to check out who so and so is too.
Yeah.
And it just avalanched, and it's weird for release in my story, like that paralleled, you know, the transition between that business to this business and doing more. And I think my brain being more open to different possibilities. Mm-hmm. Of how this can be sustainable. Right. With the record label thing, I think we really limited ourselves saying, well, it's either this, this, or this. Then these are the possibilities, and we got to keep doing this. Where when we talk about revenue streams, it's a multitude of things. It is multiple things that billionaires, trillionaires need just for it to be sustainable. So as a person that's just on the come up, you can't limit yourself. To saying, I got the check, and then I got this, and then I'll be good. No, it's that's what I hope people have gotten from, you know, from some of these episodes, is that here are an option. Here's a menu of things that you can choose from to really try to create all those revenue streams. But for me, and I definitely want to hear what you guys, you know, have to say, that self-improvement binge. And I can't call it a bit because I'm still doing it. Really is what opened up the floodgates for me.
I love that. And shout out to Tony Robbins. I'm a fan of his too. His Change Your State, I use that every time. If I got to speak for work, if I'm doing a performance, he's like, change your state. You'll find me somewhere, but backstage, like going like this. Because he's on point. I can relate to that, Corey, because I grew up in my family. I was made fun of all the time. Because I've been reading self-help books since I was a teenager, like legit. Ooh, like would make fun of me, like, what's wrong with you? And I feel like for me, it's Tony Robbins, it's Ayanna VanZant, Russell Simmons has been huge to me, especially with the money and the art. Mm-hmm. Just like, and I continue to read a whole bunch of stuff. A lot of it be go to spiritual for me too, right? So I also read a lot of T.D. Jakes. I know Joe Osteen has some controversy, but that man also got some good words. Please believe me, I'd have read all of his books too. And I feel like it is that piece of like, and no matter who you read, finance is a piece. Yeah, because you have to have, right? Yeah. No matter who it is, because you've got to have that stability from which to grow. You've got to have that foundation in that piece. And I also feel like that getting made fun of, like, you're going to have to do that. You got to grow through that, and you got to be solid and okay with being different if you want to do something different. That's always been a theme that I've seen from those who I follow and in myself too. Like, if you actually want to change something, get some thick skin because you're going to look weird, right? You're going to look different. And I feel like that with entrepreneurship too. How do y'all feel? A really question for y'all. In the Black community, like, right, I will say the PG version, but entrepreneur Negro, okay, right, right. We don't value it. Like, how do y'all feel about that? Because I feel like if you tell somebody you starting a business, oh, you a loser, or what do he do? Oh, you know, he got his own business. Oh, he broke. He ain't got no job, right? Like, that's what comes up. Yeah. So, do y'all feel like our culture, and I feel like it's changing. But have y'all felt that too, that our culture has looked down upon, you know, having, you know, trying to have your own versus like just go to school, just get a good job, just get a state job and keep it moving?
Yeah. I think anytime you're a Black person and you're trying to do something new and unique that doesn't fit into what they have a mold for you, like this vision that they have for you, they'll start to put you down or call you weird. You know, since you in the books, you know, it wasn't cool to be a nerd. That's the kind of environment that I grew up in. So it was just like, it's weird because I don't see other cultures really doing that. You know what I'm saying? Right. Matter of fact, they'll rather pay a higher price to, deal with someone that looks like them. That's from the same culture, it's from the same neighborhood. You know, our dollar doesn't circulate in our neighborhood. It only goes like one time, you know, and then we spending it, to some other person. But if we open up that same shop, no one would come in because, you know, they got a problem with, you know, the way the floor look or the artwork in there. It's like, it's all these weird excuses. I definitely feel like that's an issue. But I wanted to kind of go back to the self-improvement. Like, I actually feel weird if I'm not reading a book now and listening to something, like, you know, to get my mind set straight, you know. One of the self-improvement books that I actually love is the Bible, man. Like, I've read the Bible and the whole thing. So, and all the stuff, a lot of the stuff in the Bible, if you listen to the quotes, it connects right back to all of the personal development that you're hearing from Les Brown, from Zig Ziglar, from another one for me, I really love Jim Rohn. Another one for just straight mind state raw is just David Goggins. Like, that's my guy. I love his can't hurt me mentality. So it's just a part of me now. Like, if I'm, you know, I listen to audio like I used to listen to Redman. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just wake up.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, you know, this my joint, you know? And so I'm trying to get my daughter into it. And I know right now she like, oh, dad, like, that's kind of whack. Why don't you put some music on, put some Doja Cat or something on, or say somebody else on, right? I'm like, all right, that's cool. At least I'm going to infect you. I'm going to infect you with this personal development, because eventually you're going to hear it again and you're going to be like, damn, wait a minute. Pops already showed me that. Mm-hmm. He showed me that for a reason. Right. So it's like, you know, people can hear, but until they're ready to listen, ain't nothing going to change.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, that goes to that environment. And sometimes you're just not ready, but sometimes you're presented information and you just, at that time, you can't absorb it, but then you absorb it later and you're like, I got it. That's what I should have been doing and things of that sort. And going back to the entrepreneurial thing, like, it's been weird. And I wonder where that is, because with everything going on in the world, I feel like, that it's almost like an issue of
it's weird that we had that, you know, back in the day we had there's an era where there's where around the country there was all these great cities that had a lot of black businesses, great thriving mm-hmm. black neighborhoods. Yeah. I think of my mom's neighborhood, Inslee, which is right outside Birmingham, Alabama. And when I look at the pictures and how beautiful it was and how they could go to the corner stores and they were all black owned mm-hmm. and going back and seeing that it's bars up, boarded, broken mm-hmm. windows. And it's like, I wonder if part of the things that many of those business owners had to go through, not mentioning Black Wall Street now,
okay.
You know, parents felt it was safer to tell kids mm-hmm. to say, hey, stick in the books,
ooh.
Get into something that's safe.
It's deep.
Because of the trauma incurred from those who did step out to be entrepreneurial and the things that they had to go through. Yeah. I wonder if that feeds into that. Because
that's a word.
Because my mom was like, but you know, my dad was doing entrepreneurial thing. My mom was like, stick to the books, get a steady job, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And my I tried that, but that just hasn't been my fit.
Mm.
Yeah. That's just not how I've been made. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if from what she's seen that everyone is going to be protective of their child.
That's true.
Woo.
That's a great point, Corey.
That's a whole other episode right there.
Yeah.
Being in that last episode.
This is the route for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it there. But it plays.
Man, I wish I had more time. Because I really would like to dig into that now. I'm like, man, you didn't went into a whole another zone with that one, yo.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cool.
No deep.
Well, that was a good conversation, y'all. Like always, I feel like we always spark each other's minds, and I hope that someone listening, I hope this sparks you as well, to get into like that mindset, to get into that. At personal development, to look at your mistakes and look at those as stepping stones as, hey, you can get out of that situation. It's just a matter of you getting around the right people in the right environment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
110%. Yeah. All right, y'all. Make sure to follow us. We on IG, of course, Black Currency Podcast. Check out all the videos, including this one at YouTube if you're watching it someplace else. We're always up on myradio22.com/Black Currency Podcast. You can see it all if you hit the link tree, though. You can get it all and the articles. It is what it is. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Much love. Yo, make sure to tune in for our next backstage pass. These are kind of slick.
Yeah, yeah.
There's definitely a part two to this, Corey.
Oh, yeah.
That's part two.
Yeah, he went to another universe. So we got to think inside of the mind of Corey.
Word. That's what's up, y'all. All right, y'all. Have a good one. All right, to our listeners, have a great one. We'll see you next episode.
Peace, peace.
Peace.
Ain't you sick of giving me your money?
Oh, it's... Oh. I know he didn't do it, baby.
Whoa, where you going?
Now I'm about to go make these troubles.